It's your favorite show of the week and mine, Twitter Tuesday, where you take over the show. That's in segment one. We're going to continue discussing Hendon Hooker's return to Tennessee. Milk that for all it's worth. Top returning quarterbacks in the Southeastern Conference. Where does Hendon Hooker rank? And Hooker for Heisman? All that and more here on a Tuesday show.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into Locked On Vols, your Tuesday edition. And like we said in the cold open, you know what that means. It is Twitter Tuesday here on Locked On Vols. Locked On Vols on Twitter, at underscore Kaner. I'm your host, Derek Kane. I do radio in Knoxville, Tennessee at 99.1 The Sports Animal. I write for the Rival site covering Tennessee football and recruiting. That is at volquest.com. This podcast, available 5 days a week, every weekday on every single platform, completely free. And appreciate you guys for making Locked On Vols your first listen. Today's episode is brought to you by Sonos. Sonos is the official sponsor of ESPN College Football. You can go to Sonos.com to learn more. So we got a busy show today. Let's go ahead and jump right into it. And I thank you guys all for your participation each and every week. We'll go ahead and start with Kurt. Kurt replied to the Twitter Tuesday prompt I put on Twitter. Sounds like after Monday's episode, you feel Hooker is the default starter for next year. Is there a chance Milton could get his starting job back? He was QB1 to start the season, so if he were to put it all together finally, it would stand to reason he could win the job again. Yeah, Kurt, I get that mindset. I mean, I still think, and I've said this repeatedly, that you know, Joe Milton has the skills, has the higher upside, right? He's got the quicker mechanics. He's got the stronger arm. He's got the bigger build. He's more durable in the run game, all that type of stuff. But, I mean, Hendon Hooker came in, and really since game two, second quarter against Pittsburgh, he played well enough to never give up the job, and he proved it in big-time moments and big-time games. His stat line proves it. And so, sure, Hendon Hooker, or Joe Milton, rather, could look better in practice. He looked better in practice in camp last year. That's why he won the job. But, you know, I don't think he's ever going to get an opportunity to prove it, quote-unquote, unless he plays in a game. And if that were to happen, it'd be because Hendon Hooker is sidelined due to injury, kind of like what happened last year. So, he's my default starter because Hendon Hooker came in and balled out this year. But I do understand what you're saying. Joe Milton had the job at one point in time. What if he puts it all together? I just don't think he's going to have that opportunity to put it all together unless he is put in the game, and that's not going to happen unless Hendon Hooker gets hurt, in my opinion. We'll see what Joe Milton, you know, wants to do if he's going to enter the transfer portal. You know, I'm trying to gather more information on this. He was a transfer last year, gained immediate eligibility, but he has a degree from Michigan, so could that be his graduate transfer and he has one more, you know, free move of eligibility? I don't know. I don't know how that works. Does it even matter right now anymore with the grad transfers? It's all very confusing, so I'm trying to work to get a better understanding of that, because if that's the case, you know, Joe Milton would have to transfer down to play next year. You know, do you really want to do that? So we'll have to see exactly what his status is on this roster and this team, but right now he's on the team. He's practicing with Hendon Hooker for this bowl game against Purdue, and that's kind of what I think about that. But, Kurt, appreciate you chiming in. Really, really do appreciate you for joining the show. We will head on over to Chase next. And Chase chimes in. I tweeted earlier on Monday that ETSU coach Randy Sanders was retiring. Of course, he was a longtime Tennessee assistant. This is Chase. Man, I was having such a good day until I saw your retweet about Coach Sanders. I'm definitely a VFL, but ETSU is local, so they have a big place in my life. Dude was a legend who brought ETSU out of the SoCon basement, and will be hard to replace. No doubt about that, Chase. My Twitter Tuesday question, how well does Purdue travel? Will I feel like I'm at Neyland for a home game, or will it be more evenly split? My answer to that would be, I mean, as far as I know, I'm not going to act like I'm an expert on knowing, you know, Purdue and its fan base and how it travels and everything. I do remember when Tennessee played against Purdue in the, I guess it was a Sweet 16 a couple years ago. I remember there being a lot of Purdue fans that made that trip to that round of the NCAA tournament. I would assume that Purdue will travel. This is a bowl game where Purdue was at just a couple years ago. They got thumped by Auburn, but it's a bowl game. It's a city that Purdue fans should be familiar with. So I'd expect a good amount of Purdue fans to travel, but let's make no mistake about it. This game is in Middle Tennessee. This game is in Nashville. This game is in Tennessee. It's in Big Orange Country. So I would assume that there would be an overwhelming majority of of Orange compared to, you know, the likes of Purdue. So it should be a good environment. And again, like I've said the entire time, I think this has, you know, the potential to be one of the more underrated games on the bowl schedule. However, You have David Bell and George Karlaftis, the wide receiver, and the first-round graded defensive end, who could be a first-round pick. Those two guys named All-Americans earlier this week. It was announced they will not play in the bowl game. So it's kind of a break for Tennessee, and that's what's unfortunate about bowl games. Some of your best players don't play in these bowl games, and that's the case for Purdue. Its two best players will not play in the bowl game. But for Tennessee's offensive line, for Hendon Hooker, that is a welcoming sight that Karlaftis will not be playing for Purdue. All right, Chase, I appreciate you chiming in. We will go next to my good buddy, Hitter94, always chiming in on Twitter Tuesday. Of the four incoming freshman wide receivers, which one do you think has the most upside? What position groups are Trinity Bell and Kamen Marley working with? All right, I'll start with the last one. Trinity Bell is a tight end. Kamen Marley is a defensive back right now. He is a wide receiver right now. Both of those guys were redshirted. Trinity Bell would be likely fifth on the depth chart right now because you had the 1-2 in interchangeable order of Princeton Fant and Jacob Warren. Your third guy would be Miles Campbell. Your fourth guy would be Nixon. You also have Solomon in there, who is the walk-on tight end who's gotten some snaps this last year, and then would come Trinity Bell. But, you know, really last year he was rehabbing. He tore his ACL in the offseason after his senior season basketball year. And so he never really had a chance. I'm intrigued to see, you know, this offseason, his progression for Trinity Bell. He could be an option on the defensive line at some point in time as well. But right now he's a tight end. Kamen Marley, again, kind of came in late. He had his hand, you know, bandaged up for the first, you know, all of camp, really. He is at wide receiver right now. I see him more as a defensive back in the future. We'll see what happens there. But he was redshirted as well. Both of those guys well down the depth chart. And as far as the four incoming freshman wide receivers, which one do you think has the most upside? I like Cam Miller a lot. He can do a bunch of different things. He was used as running back a lot as well at Memphis Academy. I like his makeups. Squirrel White is a speedster. He affirmed his commitment to Tennessee on Monday, so he will be signing on Wednesday. FYI, I'll also get a list of you guys on what times everybody's going to be signing on Wednesday. That'll come up on tomorrow's show. But I like Squirrel White, his speed. Charles Nimrod, he was a late bloomer. We'll have to see exactly how good he can be. I'll tell you what, Caleb Webb's impressive. You know, Tennessee's commit, Tennessee gained over just a couple days ago. He's tall. He's got a lot of he's got a frame to where you can add a couple of pounds to it and muscle. He's got long strides. He's a returner as well. I think he could be a real nice threat on the outside. So I'll say Caleb Webb. I'm really, really impressed with Caleb Webb, and I like what Tennessee, you know, has in him potentially down the line. All right, we'll finish things up here with Braden before we get into some more segment conversation-driven topics. Who was your ideal second option running back the next year to pair with Jabari Small? Whether it be through recruiting or the transfer portal, who would you like to see back there next year? Well, I would love to see Jahmyr Gibbs of Georgia Tech, but doesn't look like he's going to be an option for Tennessee via the transfer portal. He is a stud. Right now, you got Jabari Small. I like Jalen Wright. I think he came along as the season went along and did some things, so he should definitely be deserving of getting some carries next year. After that, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I don't like Lenith Whitehead at running back. Never have. Marcus Pierce is a walk-on. D. Beckwith never got run. I don't like anybody after Jalen Wright. And so coming in for Tennessee, Dylan Sampson, he is a all-purpose type back, but he will be a true freshman. He's very elusive. He's strong. He's got some room to add some weight as well. So we'll have to see exactly how, you know, he can do in the summer and in fall camp. Really like Justin Williams, potentially. If Tennessee can get Justin Williams in this class, he's going to be one of the main targets on Wednesday to look out for. If Tennessee can bring him in, but, you know, the former West Virginia commit, the four-star running back, if Tennessee can reel him in, I bet he will be contending for some snaps as a true freshman. Will it be a lot? I'm sure it won't be a lot. But he, again, is kind of a bigger, a back that can do a little bit of everything. So we'll see if Tennessee continues to be active in the transfer portal, if maybe they want to bring in a running back. Wouldn't be the worst idea in the world. But if all goes according to plan for the Volunteers, on signing day, you will sign two running backs. If Justin Williams picks Tennessee over Auburn, which I have a good feeling about, you'll bring in Dylan Sampson. That's two. Okay, you already have Jabari Small. You have Jalen Wright. That's four. And then, of course, you have Lenith Whitehead, and you have Deep Beckwith as well. So that's kind of the outlook right now. I would say one of these freshmen will get some snaps, kind of like Jalen Wright did for Tennessee this year. as well. All right, big thank you guys for Twitter Tuesday. Not as many submissions this week, but that's okay. You guys be sure to chime in. Ian, anytime you have a question throughout the week, if I don't answer it on the spot, I will save it for Tuesday. Always appreciate you guys for chiming in and sending me your questions. We will continue to milk this Hendon Hooker coming back. We'll talk about Hooker and returning quarterbacks in the SEC when we return. But first, it's Bet Online. It's got you covered for all the season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. As football season continues, it's March through the playoffs. Bet Online also remains your number one spot for, you know, basketball action as well. Head to the new updated desktop or mobile website, sign up today, and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, UFC, right to your favorite Las Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, it is where the game starts. And don't forget about Prize Picks, all right? Prize Picks is the leader in college sports daily fantasy. It offers more college football and basketball props than ever before. And anywhere in the world, it offers props for the Power 5 players as well as the mid-majors. Prize Picks offers any prop you can possibly think of. In basketball, you can play the points, rebounds, assists, threes made, and a whole lot more. All the new users, if you put in the promo code LOCKEDON, you're going to receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Just put in that promo code LOCKEDON on your first deposit. You pick the 2 to 5 players, the over and under on the projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. It's just you versus the projected numbers. Prize Picks also allows mixed sports entries as well. You can do it all on the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. And Prize Picks, it's safe and offers fast withdrawals. So don't hesitate. Check out PrizePicks.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, or go to the App Store and download the app today. Prize Picks, it's daily fantasy made easy. As we welcome you back in here to Locked On Vols, I want to thank you for making Locked On Vols your first listen every single day. And right now, make sure to check out the Ultimate College Football Playoff Preview 2021. That's where local experts, betting advice, and draft analysis can be had. The most comprehensive college football playoff preview, it begins this Friday. That's the Ultimate College Football Playoff Preview 2021. So, Hendon Hooker announced that he is returning to Tennessee for the 2022 season. All right, Hooker placed 7th in the SEC in total passing and passing yards this season with 2,567. KJ Jefferson was 6th. Will Levis was 5th. Well, Will Levis is 5th. That's surprising. Max Johnson was 4th. Matt Corral 3rd. Bryce Young 2nd. And Will Rogers was 1st. So Hooker comes back immediately. That's a big jump for Tennessee, okay? But where does he rank in returning quarterbacks in the Southeastern Conference for 2022? Now, you're going to lose a couple of players. Some players have transferred. So when you really break it all down, it's interesting to see how high Hendon Hooker can go. Right now, if I said take the top quarterbacks in the SEC from the 2021 season, I think the majority of you guys would probably take Bryce Young. He was the Heisman Trophy winner. If not Bryce Young, it's probably Matt Corral. If not Matt Corral, probably Will Rogers. He led the SEC in passing. And then from there, after those three, or maybe Hendon Hooker would be your third, but it's probably Hendon Hooker after that, depending on how you look at it. But the returners coming back, I think, pegged to lead the SEC in 2022. The conversation has to start with Bryce Young, simply because, again, his touchdown-to-interception ratio was incredible. He was a Heisman Trophy winner, all that type of stuff. Yes, he plays for Alabama. He's got all the best toys to play with. He's got an offensive line that blocks for him the best. I get all that. But the conversation starts with Bryce Young. Will Rogers has to be up there with Young or right below him, in my opinion, okay? A guy that was so turnover-prone as a true freshman or as a freshman just took a ginormous step, this past season, okay? He threw for 4,449 yards. That is really, really good. He completed 75% of his passes. That is the most interesting stat to me. Yeah, Will Rogers had a game against Kentucky this past fall where he was 36 of 39. Broke the single game, passing completion record, not only for Mississippi State, but I'm pretty sure maybe for the SEC in terms of, minimum passing attempts of 20 or so. He had 35 passing touchdowns. He did have 8 interceptions. He was sacked 30 times. He had a QBR of 150.19. Will Rogers had himself a fine season. So you got Bryce Young, who will return. He'll be a third-year player. Will Rogers, who will return. He'll be a third-year player. Matt Corral has gone to the NFL. Max Johnson of LSU, who was fourth in the league in passing at 2,815 yards, 27 touchdowns, 6 interceptions this season, at a 60% completion percentage. Max Johnson's entered the transfer portal. Okay. Bo Nix is not in this conversation. He was way, way, way down there at 11th in the SEC in passing this season. Only 11 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 2,185 yards, or 2,295 yards. He's not in this conversation, right? But he, too, has entered the transfer portal. Now, where Max Johnson decides to go, where Bo Nix decides to go, and where Zach Calzada decides to go. Texas A&M's quarterback that came in for Haynes King, played the entire season, pretty much the entire season, beat Alabama. He was 12th in the SEC in passing this year, 2,185 yards, 17 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. Where's Zach Calzada, where Max Johnson, and where Bo Nix decide to go and play? I don't know yet. It very well could be in the SEC just to another team. You know, who knows? But removing those three out of the equation, and again, you know, Max Johnson really is the only one that's in competition with Hendon Hooker, in my opinion, but you remove those three out of the conversation, the next one to come in behind Bryce Young, behind Will Rogers, it has to be Hendon Hooker. And again, you may have Hendon Hooker higher than I do on this list, but I just think what Bryce Young and Will Rogers did this past season was incredible. Hendon Hooker adds another element to its game. Yeah, Bryce Young, he can run. You know, Hendon Hooker is more of a dual threat than either one of those guys. Hendon Hooker's definitely up there at number three, for sure, in terms of returning quarterbacks in the SEC. I have Hendon Hooker pegged above KJ Jefferson, okay? KJ Jefferson turned in a fine season at Arkansas. I think he played pretty much the entire season hurt, and it's even more impressive that he threw for over 2,500 yards, 21 touchdowns, only 3 interceptions. There's a lot of SEC quarterbacks that didn't turn the football over a lot, but I think it's Hendon Hooker in that third spot no matter what. And then KJ Jefferson would come into play. And then from there, it's whatever, it's however you want to spin it. I think Connor Bazelak has got the tools and the intangibles to be a good quarterback, but stats-wise, he's not taking that step that we thought he would. You got Connor Bazelak in this conversation, Will Levis, who turned in a pretty decent season throwing the football. The more they let him throw as the season went on and you got out of playing just cupcake games. You know, Stetson Bennett's going to return. Will it be Stetson Bennett? Will it be, you know, JT Daniels? I don't know. What's Emory Jones look like? Will Emory Jones be the quarterback of Florida this time next year? Will it be Anthony Richardson? Will either one of those guys be on the roster? I don't know. You know, Vanderbilt at the Sellers got Ken Seals and Mike Wright coming back. But the conversation is, where was Max Johnson going to go? Where's Bo Nix going to go? And where's Zach Calzada going to go? But even more so than that, it's when you look at the returning quarterbacks in the SEC, Hendon Hooker's right up there. And Hendon Hooker has a chance to be a really, really solid quarterback in year two of this system for Josh Heupel. And we'll talk more on that in segment three coming up. But, I mean, how many times can we sit here in the offseason and say, man, Tennessee's going to have a top three returning quarterback in the SEC next year? It's probably got the top returning quarterback in the East, right? Yeah, I mean, it's Hendon Hooker's, you know, obviously better than Ken Seals and Mike Wright at Vanderbilt. I would take Hendon Hooker all day, every day over Stetson Bennett, even though Stetson Bennett does have some good stats throwing the ball down the field. I would take Hendon Hooker over Emory Jones and, you know, Anthony Richardson. Let's see. I think he's a stud. We'll see what he looks like in this offense, again, if he's still on the roster. Hendon Hooker over anybody at South Carolina. Hendon Hooker over anybody at, well, you got Connor Bazelak, who I think's fine, but I'd take Hendon Hooker over him. Who else am I forgetting from the East? I pretty much got them all, right? So, you know, Will Levis as well. I mean, I would take Hendon Hooker over all those guys, and I'm sure you would as well. So Tennessee's sitting pretty, you know, coming back with its quarterback for the 2022 season. A top three, in my opinion, quarterback in the SEC. But again, here's the conversation. Who does Brian Kelly get to come quarterback LSU? Because you know he'll bring in somebody good, right? What is Texas A&M going to do? Are they going to be fine with Haynes King, or are they going to try to bring in somebody as well? What is Auburn going to do? Brian Harsin, it's been a complete up-and-down type situation for him at Auburn since taking over. What is Auburn going to decide to do? I mean, these are SEC powers in some instances. You know, LSU's a power. Auburn's a power. A&M's a good team. They're going to be attracting some of the best quarterbacks in the portal, and there's a lot of quarterbacks in the portal right now. I mean, you got Spencer Rattler. You got Dylan Gabriel. You've got, just a ton of quarterbacks that I could go on and on that's in the portal right now. Will they look to make the move to the SEC? And if so, how does that affect this pecking order? I don't think anybody's going to supplant Bryce Young, the Heisman Trophy winner. Can somebody come in and be comparable to what Will Rogers did this season? Again, Will Rogers of Mississippi State, 75% completion percentage, 35 passing touchdowns. He did have 8 interceptions. But then Hendon Hooker, with his ability to throw the ball, not turn it over, run the football, be super efficient. Hendon Hooker finished in the SEC in terms of QBR, had the highest QBR in the SEC in terms of starting quarterbacks at 182.16. So, or quarterback rating. So, you know, Hendon Hooker, Tennessee's in good shape, you know, with Tennessee returning, or with Hendon Hooker returning, Tennessee is in good shape. I'm intrigued to see who those other schools bring in to quarterback. I'm intrigued to see where those other quarterbacks go if they jump ship to another SEC school. I mean, Bo Nix, you know, might as well, you know, pave out a spot in Orlando with Gus Malzahn, right? That makes a whole lot of sense. So we will see, but Tennessee is in good position heading into 2022 with one of the best quarterbacks in the SEC returning. And that's going to give this offense a chance to, you know, reach a new level in 2022, year number two of the system for Josh Heupel. And that kind of leads me into what we're going to close the show with here in segment three. Is Hendon Hooker a Heisman candidate in 2022? I know what you're all thinking. You're probably rolling your eyes. I am too. But hear me out on the other side when we return. It's a good conversation to have why he should at least be positioned in that manner. We'll talk about that when we return. But guys, I want to remind you about Omaha Steaks for Christmas. It is the perfect Christmas gift. I kid you not. I ordered 3 orders of Omaha Steaks. They came in on Monday. I sent one to my girlfriend's dad. I sent one to my dad. And I sent one to a family friend. Okay, and it's literally you know, for that guy in your life, for that role model, that male role model, it's the perfect Christmas gift, especially good for guys like me and probably you guys and gals that aren't in tune with the holiday shopping, maybe behind the eight ball a little bit, okay? The holidays are right around the corner, and finding that perfect gift is tricky, but Omaha Steaks makes it so easy to send friends and family unforgettable gifts guaranteed to be loved. Here's what it is. You go to omahasteaks.com, you enter college into the search bar to order. The perfect gift package is what you're ordering. For $99.99, you're going to get 24 entrees, like the world-famous bacon-wrapped filet mignons, chicken breasts, sides, desserts, and a whole lot more. And when you use the code COLLEGE, you're going to get an additional 8 Omaha Steaks burgers for free. Okay, we've all heard reports about shortages and all that with shipping delays and all that, so don't wait. I didn't wait. I ordered mine last week. I got them on Monday. They're here plenty of time for Christmas. Order the perfect gift package today at omahasteaks.com, and you're going to get 8 free burgers when entering the code COLLEGE. Achieving gifting greatness with Omaha Steaks. Incredible flavor, incredible value, and 100% guaranteed. That's at omahasteaks.com. Keyword COLLEGE, and you guys know we're doing that contest. I want Locked On Vols to beat the entire college channel. So this is the perfect Christmas gift. I kid you not. It is so easy, minimal thought, but it comes from the heart. It's going to help you out here at Christmas. That is omahasteaks.com, keyword COLLEGE, for the perfect Christmas gift. Segment three of a Tuesday show. Big thanks to everybody for getting me in your Twitter Tuesday questions. We went over those in segment one. Always a fun time. Probably my favorite show each and every week is just taking questions from you guys. So if you have any more questions and you want to send them in throughout the week, I'll answer them, or I will bookmark them and hold them on for next Tuesday show. So it's been a fun time so far. We discussed the top returning quarterbacks in the SEC and where Hendon Hooker's kind of slotted there. And spoilers, if for some reason you're jumping around on the show and you missed last segment, it is up there. It is up there, no doubt. And this is why I believe Tennessee should position Hendon Hooker as a Heisman candidate heading into the 2022 season. Now, I'm not naive to believe, and I'm not just going to be like, oh, Hendon Hooker's back. He's going to win the Heisman. I'm not like that. You always, 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 almost always pick the field in a Heisman race. Let's look back at recent winners, right? Who had Devontae Smith winning it last year? Nobody. Who had Joe Burrow winning it the year before? Nobody. Who had Tua Tagovailoa winning it the year before? Everybody. But guess who won it? It was Kyler Murray. Really, this year, Bryce Young was like kind of the, and I'm not going to say he won it wire to wire because, again, we had this debate on the starting lineup on 99.1 The Sports Animal Tuesday morning, Monday morning, myself and Tyler Ivins. I don't think it was solidified that Bryce Young was going to win the Heisman up until that SEC championship game. What he did against that Georgia defense, it was, he had a slam dunk. He won it that day. but he was one of the favorites coming into the season. He was one of the favorites among Sam Howell, quarterback of North Carolina, De'Arik King, quarterback of Miami, and Spencer Rattler, quarterback of Oklahoma at the time. But you look at Bryce Young won the Heisman, sure, but Howell wasn't in the running. King wasn't in the running. Rattler hadn't started in 2 months, right? So my point is, the preseason favorites, typically there's always somebody that comes out from the field and wins this award. Not this year, but usually, right? So I think it's interesting the way this award works and how, you know, just somebody comes up out of nowhere and wins it every single year. Do I think Hendon Hooker is going to win the Heisman next year? No, I don't. Because, again, I think there's a lot of contributing factors that go into it. I think team success is one thing. Will Tennessee win enough games to get him in position to do just that? Will he be as efficient as he was this past year, which was pretty daggum efficient? Can he raise the quarterback touch or the touchdown numbers potentially and all that? I'm not doubting his ability. I'm just saying if you're playing the odds here, you always pick the field, always. But having said all that, Tennessee should position Hendon Hooker in the light, of heading into this new season as a Heisman frontrunner. VFL Films does a fantastic job, one of the best in the country, at putting out content, being creative with the graphic design, with the short films, all that type of stuff. It is one of the best in the country. As Tennessee fans, truly blessed to have VFL Films at your disposal, right? It's just content, content, content. What VFL Films could do with Hendon Hooker this spring, over the summer, heading into the next season, could be incredible. You know, social media is the way of life nowadays, right? If you want to get exposure, you got to put out content, content, content. If Tennessee puts out some type of Hendon Hooker graphic or Hendon Hooker short film or Hendon Hooker, you know, motion picture, something every single week, positioning him, getting him in the spotlight of the college football national media, then he's going to be on the forefront of the mind, and you know he's going to be on the mind all season long when Tennessee's playing. Listen, I know a lot of Heisman voters. I don't know a lot outside of this market or outside of this region, but I know some Heisman voters, and you know this is nothing to you know the ones that I know, but really just overall, a lot of these Heisman voters, they don't watch every single game. It's tough. If you're a Heisman voter, I feel like you should be watching, you know, five to seven football games a weekend. You need to catch those midweek games. I mean, you need to go back and watch film during the week because it's a responsibility if you are a Heisman voter. A lot of these people don't take this seriously. I mean, Jordan Davis got 9 votes for the Heisman this year. I think Jordan Davis is a heck of a player. He's going to be a first-round pick. I have the utmost respect for him as a football player in the world, but the fact that he got 9 votes, that's silly. That's silly. Will Anderson Jr., who was not a finalist, got 31 votes, and I respect that because I think he was one of the best players in the country. Not having Will Anderson Jr. as a finalist, but having Aiden Hutchinson as a finalist, that's another discussion. But the point is, a lot of these Heisman voters, they just watch their team. I'll be real. If someone approached me and said, "Hey, Eric, we want you to be a Heisman voter," I mean, you talk about an awesome honor, right? I mean, to have a Heisman voter, I mean, to be a Heisman voter, to have a Heisman vote, that would be an incredible honor. But honestly, I don't think I could do it because you guys know me, I am so consumed with Tennessee football and covering the ins and the outs and recruiting and transfer portals and practice every day and all that type of stuff that I don't pay attention much outside of Tennessee because this is my job. And when you're on the hashtag beat, it's really tough to watch and learn and know, you know, about just college football in general outside of your team. Now, I mean, obviously I watch football. I watch some of the marquee matchups and, you know, on the weekends, on Saturdays, depending on Tennessee's game time. I'll watch games in the press box at Neyland Stadium. I know who's up there. I study the game. I go back and I watch SEC finals 2 times through every Saturday night. I get it. Okay. Like I put in the homework, but I'm still not watching Southern Cal games on the West Coast. A lot of times I miss Ohio State football games. I catch Alabama games all the time because they're always on ESPN or the SEC Network or CBS, more so than not, right? But it would be tough for me to have a Heisman vote. But my point is, so many people are like me, but they have a Heisman vote. And without watching the tape, without watching games, they just look at the stat sheet, they just know the name, and they just vote. And so if VFL Films, if Tennessee positions Hendon Hooker and Alight to always be on social media, to, you know, get tweets to go viral, get names to go trending, and every time he has a good game next season, you blow it up in terms of content, Hendon Hooker will be on the forefront of a lot of voters' minds because they will just continue to see his name after name after name. So will Hendon Hooker win the Heisman? Probably not. The odds are not in his favor, but the odds are never in anybody's favor. That's why they always start out with plus, you know, plus whatever odds to win the Heisman, because it's so difficult. Usually you always take the field. But Tennessee, with the year Hendon Hooker had, his first year with Josh Heupel in the system, coming back now, looking to take a step in year number two, he is a super senior. Will he take a Kenny Pickett-type leap? Probably not. I mean, that was insane what Kenny Pickett did this year, right? And Hendon Hooker had a really, really good year stat-wise already. So will he take that big of a leap? Probably not. But can you improve? Can you get over 35 passing touchdowns? Can you get 10 rushing touchdowns? I mean, the interception total was fantastic. Can you, you know, add on a little bit more to your yards per pass attempt? Explosive plays, how this offense goes, how you protect Hendon Hooker. Can you find replacements at wide receiver? All that plays into effect here. But I hope you guys are getting it that I'm saying if Tennessee positions Hendon Hooker in a light to where he is trending on social media, and he is a name that Heisman voters see constantly throughout the offseason, throughout the season, it's worth a shot, right? If I'm Tennessee, that's what I'm doing. Plus, you know, I feel like he's going to have a good year. So it's an interesting conversation to have. I think Hendon Hooker will certainly, you know, maybe garner some conversation in that light. And if he balls out next year, totally. I think he'll have the stats to be in that conversation, but that's a long way away. We still have plenty of questions that we need answering about this current team for Tennessee in 2022. So I hope that made sense about, you know, Tennessee should position Hendon Hooker in a light to where he should be in consideration for the Heisman Trophy entering the 2022 season. Because, again, I'll remind you one more time. Last year, who had DeVonta Smith winning it? The year before that, who had Joe Burrow winning it? The year before that, who had Kyler Murray winning it? Nobody, right? Byron Young was, Bryce Young was one of the favorites coming into the season, and he ended up winning it, but it wasn't until the SEC Championship game where he won it, in my opinion, but he did win it, and he was a preseason one of the favorites. But so was Sam Howell, De'Ari King, and Spencer Rattler. None of those guys came close. I'll say it one more time. None of those guys came close to winning the Heisman this year. So we'll have to see exactly what happens. But again, a lot more questions about this roster, this team's makeup that will affect Hendon Hooker's play is yet to be answered heading into bowl season, the offseason, spring practice, summer, and on into fall camp. And we continue to look forward to breaking all that down when the time comes. All right, that's been a fun Tuesday show. We took your questions in Twitter Tuesday. We talked about the top returning quarterbacks in the SEC, and we talked about positioning Hendon Hooker for a Heisman conversation. A fun Tuesday show. Look forward to catching up with Josh Ward for Award Wednesday and getting you set for National Signing Day. It's tomorrow. Tennessee looking for a big day. I'll tell you what time to look out for some of these top prospects to sign, the top targets for Tennessee and the commits, all that coming up tomorrow on Locked On Vols. Now that we're done with Locked On Vols, thanks so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen. Let's check out Locked On Bets. Make that your second listen each and every day. Got a big show coming up tomorrow, guys. I appreciate you. Thanks so much, and we'll do it again on Wednesday.